Our first scripture this morning is Psalm, I haven't got it written on here, Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered the steadfast love and faithfulness he has to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, our Lord. Let the sea roar and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our second scripture reading comes from the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 to 31, Jesus is teaching his followers how to live lives of blessedness. Now, at this point in his ministry, he has a great crowd of followers who want to learn from him and to be healed. So he goes up on a big hill to speak so all can hear. He begins with blessings, and he closes with woes and commands. So let us, his present-day followers, apply this lesson to our lives today. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, as we know, Jesus came to show us the way to abundant life. And he starts his ministry with this big sermon. Now, in the book of Matthew, it's recorded as the Sermon on the Mount. But in the book of Luke, it's recorded a bit differently. Luke's sounds a lot like Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, but Luke's rendition is shorter. He's more to the point, and he includes half of the Beatitudes you can find in Matthew. But Luke adds something along with this short list of blessedness. Luke includes a list of woes also. One commentator I read said that any pastor preaching on this text should put on a hard hat and protective gear, because there is no way to approach these blessings without hearing the woes that go with them, and the woes are powerful. Now, this was Christ's first sermon, and he preached it soon after recruiting his main group of women and men disciples. Already, the word had gone out about Jesus, that he could heal, and that he spoke with courageous authority as if he was speaking from the mind of God. So people were clamoring. Multitudes came to listen to these words on the day they were spoken. Now, at first, I'm sure the people were quite confused when he began speaking. The Jewish-Roman way of understanding the poor was that they were cursed, and they would remain that way. So why bother with them? Yet here, Jesus is saying, the poor are blessed. How strange that was to their ears. And then he adds that the hungry are blessed. I'm sure they wondered, how can those who are starving be blessed? And then those who weep? You can just imagine the confusion that must have gone across their faces when the people in the crowd were listening to these words as Jesus is turning upside down their understanding of the plight of the people in their society who were suffering. The poor, the hungry, the mournful were all looked upon with pity, but also with indifference. Never before had someone challenged them to see their plight as blessed. So I'm sure they were wondering, who is this guy? Now, Pastor Joanne Taylor suggests that we look carefully at what Jesus is saying in the Beatitudes and match the Beatitudes with what she calls the Woeitudes. And she says, what do all the blessings have in common? They're all states of being where the people are seeking God, most likely. Seeking God is what naturally comes when you're in that state of being. And what do all the woes have in common? That people are seeking themselves, seeking their own gratifications. Now, the message is pretty simple. We are blessed when we seek God, but often it takes some hardship to happen to us before we truly realize we need God. Isn't that true? And then the rest of the message is, we are full of woe whenever we are full of ourselves and think we are not in need of God or one another. When we go through life focusing on fulfilling our own needs, oblivious to the needs of others, that is a woeful way to live in the eyes of God. Now, when Jesus blesses the poor, the hungry, and the mournful, he knows that those people going through those struggles are more in touch with God than those who are going through life thinking they are doing just fine without God. There are great blessings in seeking God and being humble enough to be aware of our need for God. Being poor and hungry and mourning and feeling persecuted, and all of these are states of being that end up humbling us. And that humbling and that humility often paves the way for an opening for God. The rich and the self-serving find no need for God in their lives until they realize that the world doesn't have enough riches to fill that empty place in their soul that's waiting to be filled by God. When we take material blessings for granted, or we think that we have acquired our many blessings by our own efforts alone, We forget then to give thanks to God. Our prideful self-reliance will eventually bring us woes. And in the grand finale of this sermon then, Jesus gives some final commands to help us all avoid the woes. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Easy list to accomplish, right? You might even listen to this list and immediately dismiss it as impossible. But remember, with God, nothing is impossible. And when Jesus spoke these words, he was very serious. If you truly seek abundant life, this is how you live it. If you want to understand what it truly means to be blessed in this world and avoid the woes he warns us about, then do all you can to keep these commands and try your very best to live in this way as a true follower of Jesus Christ. And now this is where the protective gear and hard hat comes in handy, because Jesus is saying this to us today. If you are not making an effort to accomplish this list in your own life daily, then you cannot honestly call yourself a Christian. You cannot call yourself a Christ follower. These are the basics of being a follower of Jesus Christ. They are the essentials and commands that can't be ignored or put aside. Good, I don't see any rocks or tomatoes coming at me yet. But there is good news, and the good news is when we fail, we are forgiven because Christ died on the cross for each one of us. And the abundant life that comes from trying again to live in this way of Christ is full of blessings. When we bless those that curse us, turn the other cheek, and give away more than people ask for, we receive that heavenly peace from God that surpasses all understanding. And when God's peace fills our souls, it strengthens our faith and makes us resilient people, better able to deal with the stresses in our unpredictable world. Now, I recently read an amazing story from Rwanda that illustrates how deep faith can help us survive tragedy and be this kind of resilient. A pregnant Christian Rwandan mother was caught up in the 1994 genocide when the Hutus and the Tutsi tribes were fighting. And remember, this violence was over the idea that their presidential election had been rigged. That's how the massacres began. Her village was destroyed in a massacre. Among her family, she was shot first, and then she was buried under the bodies of her 6 children who were killed and left for dead. From underneath the pile of her dead children, she dug herself out. Eventually, she buried her children properly. She gave birth to her new child, and as she was recovering, she adopted 5 children whose parents had been killed in the same massacre. When asked how she could survive such a tragedy, she expressed that her belief was because she felt that her life had been spared by God, so that she might care for the orphaned children after losing her own. Rather than mournfully withdraw into herself, which I think would be a natural response, and focus on her own individual suffering, she demonstrated the generous, loving, abundant way of Jesus Christ. Christ's way promoted her own healing by helping others heal and helping those who also suffered great loss as she did. By opening her heart and being as Christ-like as she could be, she experienced new life by giving life and love to other children. When we focus on spiritual wealth rather than material wealth, when we practice generosity rather than hoarding our money, when we stand up to injustice wherever it is happening, and when we forgive rather than plot revenge, we affirm that every human being is worthy of God's love, including ourselves. Amen.